Kennesaw State Athletics presents Inside the Nest, an inside look at Kennesaw State football.
Shivers with Trey in motion left. Give Rex Steiner, breaks into the open right side, gets to the edge, 15, 10, down the sideline, touchdown!
And now, let's go Inside the Nest.
Inside the Nest, presented by Del Taco.
We get ready for week 5 already of the 2018 season. It's the Owls and what has become a familiar opponent, Samford, coming to town. And a very, very big, as we drift toward the mid-season part of the year, test for the Owls to take on Samford, a team, again, very familiar with. Nathan McCreary along with me. I'm Brian Giffen as we sit here at Fifth Third Bank Stadium. And Nathan, first of all, good to have you here. One of those days where a lot of things going on. But, man, here we are, the Owls and Samford. It sounds like an old rivalry. Yeah. And 13 months ago, they'd never played each other.
Yeah, and it was because of that, the way that first game went. You know, you had the big, long delay. Kennesaw State came out of the second half after 4 hours of just waiting around and were flat, but finally came to and could have won that game, really.
No doubt. Should have won it.
And then we had a long trip back in the rain, and we didn't know if we were going to get another shot at Samford. And here we go. We get to see them in the first round of the playoffs. And it was a dominating performance by Kennesaw State. And, you know, I think it's a great rival because of the distance, the way those games were last year, playing them in the playoffs, and that was the only team you lost to. It would have been a perfect season to that point.
Not to mention that there are huge implications for recruiting.
Yeah.
And this is one of those games, when you looked at the schedule before the season started, that this is a big game for steps where the Owls haven't gone yet, like maybe becoming one of those top 8 seeds in the FCS playoff field. All these things matter down the road. Yet here Samford is coming into the game, having dropped 3 consecutive games, 2 of them in conference. But the game they lost at Chattanooga last week is eerily reminiscent a little of the playoff loss they had against the Owls,
right,
in that they were dominated a bit, but they fought their way back, and there they were at the end, and a pass that sailed high in the end zone, right, was what ended the game in Chattanooga.
Because Samford has so many weapons, and you look at the stats, they had 25 passing first downs.
Yeah.
If they need to go down the field, they have the ability to do that. And with what we saw against Clark Atlanta and Kennesaw State, Clark Atlanta was trying to do the same thing. They see a deficiency, I think, in the Kennesaw State secondary, and that's my biggest concern right now is Samford's ability to throw the ball. They are not going to rush the ball that much. They had 4 rushing first downs against Chattanooga. They're just going to come out here, play Samford ball, which is give it to Hodges and let him throw it down the field. I'm a little concerned about that.
You know, what they do really, and you just alluded to it in some form, in lieu of a running game, they kind of dink and dunk, mm-hmm, underneath. But they have the ability to go down the field also, which,
right,
makes them pretty complex to game plan for defensively because, sure, you can load things up underneath to prevent the soft zone underneath stuff, but you can't forget and you can't let those receivers get behind you. We saw that in the third quarter,
right,
of that game over there after the long delay.
Well, and the average attempt against Chattanooga was only 5 to 7 yards, right? But their completion percentage was over 8 yards,
yeah,
per pass. 64 passes by Devlin Hodges in that game. They are going to throw the football, and it's going to be interesting to kind of hear what the coaches have to say about how they're going to prepare because, you know, what one thing that is kind of one-dimensional when you get into Kennesaw State, the defense sees the spread option all summer long. They don't get to see a whole lot of the passing down the field, and I know that Coach Newberry has addressed that before, how do you prepare for it, but they just play their defense, and you've mentioned it, and the coaches talk about it all the time. It's more about Kennesaw State doing what Kennesaw State does than what Samford does.
Well, and the thing about Samford coming in here was we talked about a 3-game losing streak. Looks like they may have a little bit of a hangover from that Florida State game, which by all rights, they really should have won. That game slipped away, and you know the expectations certainly were that Florida State was going to win that game. But then they come back from it, and they lose at home against Mercer, who probably doesn't get enough credit yet at the FCS level. And Chattanooga, who just beat them, is a 4-0 football team. So they've played a pretty tough schedule to this point. And this becomes, I think, based on those, really the last 2 results more than the 3 overall, this becomes a must-win. This is an absolute huge game for Samford.
And I've seen some of the projections for the playoffs, and they're leaving Samford out of the playoffs for the first time this week. And those projections. But, you know, I think that it may be the hangover. It may just be missing pieces right now. They're not very efficient in the red zone. They're only hitting about 2 out of 4 times, 50% of the time. And, you know, that's going to be problematic for them. But, again, you just got to know that when they saw Kennesaw State, they knew they were going to play them during the regular season. When they saw Kennesaw State on the schedule, this is the team that knocked us out last year from the end of our season. We beat them, you know, at home. I think they're circled this game also. This could be their kind of get-right game as well. So Kennesaw State has to be careful.
Well, this is all about, and we say it just like Coach does every week, this is all about dotting the I's, crossing
yes.
the T's, and playing assignment-sound football, because this is not Clark Atlanta. And no slight to Clark Atlanta or even Alabama State for that matter, but this is a team that like Kennesaw State, was ranked in the top 10 entering the year.
Yeah, and this is, again, we circled it. We knew this game was coming. I did not think they were going to be 1-3 coming into this. And it's a little bit of a mixed emotion, because they're going to be locked and loaded, ready, knowing they need a victory, going to pull out all the stops. This is a big game for them, and almost a must-win, like you said.
We look back for a moment at a dominating performance, to no one's surprise, mm-hmm. against Clark Atlanta. The Owls, for the second consecutive week, with a program record for points in a game. This time they hung up 70. And it's interesting, Nate, that I was joking around with a friend the other day that the Owls had outscored them, you know, 63-0 after spotting them a 13-7
yeah.
lead. And he's like, 9 touchdowns? Like, no, 21 field goals.
Yeah, right. Well, 14 points in the first half, 21 in the second, 21 in the third, another 14 in the fourth, where some of those reserves were able to be used and get some game time experience. So it was a you can't call it a complete effort because
no.
of that first quarter. Too many turnovers, but when you look down at it, and Coach Bohannon said it after the game, we're not going to ever not celebrate a win, no matter how ugly it was. There were some ugly things about that win, but there were some real pretty things, and that 7-0 looked real pretty, backed up with a 62-point effort the week previously. So, yeah, it was a good effort by the Owls. You knew they should beat Clark Atlanta, rather, but hanging 70, that's big.
Well, we got a lot more coming up for you on Inside the Nest, presented by Del Taco this week. Coming up in just a couple of moments, Nathan's going to visit with Owls assistant coach and recruiting coordinator, Liam Klein. That'll come your way right after this short timeout. You're listening to Kennesaw State University football.
Owl Nation, it's Coach Bohannon, and we need Fifth Third Bank Stadium packed on Saturday to create one of the best atmospheres in FCS football. If you already have tickets, we look forward to seeing you. But if you still need tickets, call the box office at 470-578-4849 or visit ksuowls.com. That's 470-578-4849 or visit ksuowls.com. Thanks for your support, and we'll see you on Saturday. Go Owls.
Del Taco's Buckin' Under Menu. Nobody gives you more for a buck or less. How can we make such a bold claim? Well, it helps when you say it with a deep, booming voice like mine. Nobody gives you more for less than Del Taco. But the voice is only half the battle. You also need amazing deals like the Crunchtata Tostada for just a buck and other fresh favorites starting at just 50 and 75 cents each. If you think you can't get more for a buck or less, you don't know Del. Price of participation may vary.
Can't commit to full season tickets? A new 3-game mini plan and single game tickets are now available through the Kennesaw State Ticket Office. The 3-game mini plan ranges from $50 to $65 and includes tickets to big games against Samford, Campbell, and the showdown with Jacksonville State at SunTrust Park. To get your season tickets, mini plans, or single game tickets, call the KSU Ticket Office at 470-578-4849 or visit ksuowls.com/tickets today.
In motion starts Terry Wright. Option goes right. Pitch Terry going to the edge. Wide open. 15-10. 5. Touchdown, Shaq Terry. Terry takes it 21 on 4th-and-1. And the Owls are an extra point away from regaining the lead here.
And we're back Inside the Nest, presented by Del Taco.
Brian Giffen with Nathan McCreary as we get ready for the Owls against the Samford Bulldogs. Again, what's become a bit of a, certainly a regional rivalry, a recruiting rivalry, and they've had a couple of wars against each other already, and we expect nothing less than that here at Fifth Third Bank Stadium on Saturday. Well, as mentioned and as promised, Nathan had the opportunity to catch up with Al's D-line coach and recruiting coordinator, Liam Klein.
Coach, you came here after some stint at Georgia Tech. What was that time like, 11 seasons there with the Yellow Jackets?
It was quite an experience. You know, I learned a lot, was around some really great coaches, was around some really great players. Learned a lot about the game, learned a lot about how to run a program, and really, really valued my time down there.
So you worked with Coach Bohannon down there, and then the opportunity came to Kennesaw State. What was that process like of maybe having to leave a Division I program like Georgia Tech and come to Kennesaw State with Coach Bohannon?
Well, the biggest thing was is I was the recruiting coordinator, so I was off the field there, so I was not coaching, which is really why I got into this business. Now, I love doing the recruiting part of it. It had been several years, but to be able to have the opportunity to come coach and do the recruiting was too good to pass up. Plus, it was a local school near my home. My wife didn't have to change jobs. I didn't have to change jobs, so it was a really unbelievable opportunity for us.
So you had been a linebacker coach and safety coach at Harvard previously, is that correct?
I was. I worked with the linebackers and the DBs. I've been a D-line guy most of my career, but I always try to learn as much as I can, so wherever they need me, I'll go coach.
The defensive line here at Kennesaw State is so important. This defense made national headlines last year about how good it was. What was special about last year's team that made you able to go so deep in the playoffs?
Well, we really had a good group of guys that worked hard. I mean, every day at practice, they brought their A game. And then we got in games, they all gelled, they had played with each other for so long that when we went out there, they never panicked. You know, they knew what the other guys were doing, they all did their job, and they really gelled as a unit over the years and played that way last year.
So now 2018, a new season and new challenges. You had some injuries early on, you knew you were going to be without some guys. What was that like coming into the season with some question marks?
Well, it was about halfway through camp that we lost, obviously we lost Big Z, and you know, it was a hit to all of us, not only from a football standpoint, but Big Z's such a great guy and just a great kid that we really, really miss him. But we knew some young guys had to step up. We've recruited some really talented young men, and they were able to come in, learn what we're doing. We've simplified a couple things up front so they can play. But, you know, it's had its challenges. You know, when you have a young player going, he's going to mess up a little bit more than maybe a guy who's in his third or fourth year. So we're working through it, and the guys are getting better each week.
So you have Samford coming up. I think this is something that we certainly circled on the calendar. Samford, who defeated Kennesaw State last year, the first regular season loss, that long delay in that game, and then you got a chance to pay him back in the playoffs. You got them on the schedule this year. This is a passing team, and I know you want to put some pressure on them. What's the key to beating Samford?
Well, I think the quarterback drives their team, and you know, they're a very well-coached team. They've got a ton of talent. I think we just have to do what we do. We go out there, we play with a lot of effort, eat as we say around here, and I think if our guys just go out and just play their game, or play our game, I should say, then we'll be, you know, hopefully be successful.
Yeah, you mentioned Devin Hodges, a very special player. They also have some great running backs and wide receivers. Their offense is going to test you. What do you think that they're going to try and do against Kennesaw State, knowing that you may be a little shallow in certain areas?
I think they, you know, like coaches nowadays, I think they just do what they do, and they're very, very good at getting the quarterback to throw the ball around. They run the ball well. So I think they're going to come in with a game plan and just say, hey, listen, you know, they've had a couple bad breaks the last few weeks. I think they're going to come in and just do what they do and try and get them some things going.
Sometimes during camps, you're going against a spread option offense all the time. When you get a team that's going to pass it a lot, how do you prepare differently against, after what you've spent since seeing all camp long, you know you're going to see a team like Clark Atlanta was, they threw the ball a lot. Mm-hmm. How do you prepare for a team that maybe you didn't have a lot of practice against?
Well, we try to work it every day in camp, in spring, every day in practice. We get the guys out there, we get the routes we need to see, we get the protections we need to see, and we just try to practice as fast as we can to get as best look as we can.
So what would be the difference to when you see an offense that's a run most offense, or run up the middle, run around, or a team that's going to drop back and pass? What are some things that you are going to have to make some adjustments in?
I think with my guys, the biggest thing is just making sure we're honing their skills on their run fits when they run, and their pass rush when they pass. I mean, I know that sounds kind of cliche, and we work on that all the time, but there's certain things that we may see on film that we really try to work throughout the week. Every team does things a little differently. You try to find those things when you watch film and you scout them, and you try to expose that as much as you can when you line up on Saturdays.
So you're four games into the season. Which grade would you give your defensive line so far, and what are some areas that you want to see improve on?
Well, you know, right now I don't think we've played our best game yet, and I think that's the biggest thing. I think we have a ton of talent. I think we play really hard, but we just haven't played a complete game yet. So all I really want to see out of my guys is just play as hard as they can, as assignment mistake free as they possibly can, and hopefully, you know, they can have some success while they do that.
So let's circle back real quick to your playing days at Monmouth. You're in the same conference as them. How special is it that you're going to get to go there this year and play?
Oh, you know, every time we get to go back there, it's a really special deal. When we went back 2 years ago, that was the first time I'd been there in quite a long time, and it's still the head coach and a lot of the guys coaching there I played with. So it's a really special deal. I usually have a lot of family and friends that come, and obviously, you know, I've got a pull for Kennesaw State. That's where I'm coaching. That's where I'm working. But it is special to go back and play against the team that you played for.
All right, Coach. Thanks for your time. Good luck against Sanford.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Nathan, and thanks, Coach Klein. And continuity matters a lot. There have been a few guys that have moved on, of course, as is normal in college football, Nathan, but this coaching staff has really built something special here. This is a team that doesn't always play its best football, like any. They are human after all, but in the big picture, this is a fast, this is a talented, and a very solid football team that, when it's on its game, I think can play with and beat any team at its level in the country.
It starts with Coach Bohannon, and it seems like all these coaches always rally to, he is why we are having so much success.
Yep.
And so they buy into what he's selling, and the players have bought into what he's selling. And all the folks that we get a chance to talk to say that Coach Bohannon, he's just a top-tier coach, and they love working for him. They love being a part of this program, and that's why I think you haven't seen some of the turnover.
We will look ahead a little bit more after we take this time out. This is Inside the Nest, presented by Del Taco, and you're listening to Kennesaw State University football.
Can't commit to full-season tickets? A new three-game mini-plan and single-game tickets are now available through the Kennesaw State Ticket Office. The three-game mini-plan ranges from $50 to $65 and includes tickets to big games against Samford, Campbell, and the showdown with Jacksonville State at SunTrust Park. To get your season tickets, mini-plans, or single-game tickets, call the KSU Ticket Office at 470-578-4849 or visit ksuowls.com/tickets today.
Del Taco's Buck and Under Menu. Nobody gives you more for a buck or less. How can we make such a bold claim? Well, it helps when you say it with a deep, booming voice like mine. Nobody gives you more for less than Del Taco. But the voice is only half the battle. You also need amazing deals like the Crunchtada Tostada for just a buck and other fresh favorites starting at just 50 and 75 cents each. If you think you can't get more for a buck or less, you don't know Del. Price and participation may vary.
Owl Nation, it's Coach Bohannon, and we need Fifth Third Bank Stadium packed on Saturday to create one of the best atmospheres in FCS football. If you already have tickets, we look forward to seeing you. But if you still need tickets, call the box office at 470-578-4849 or visit ksuowls.com. That's 470-578-4849 or visit ksuowls.com. Thanks for your support, and we'll see you on Saturday. Go Owls!
Ty Woods to punt it away. Isaac Foster awaits the punt at the Kennesaw State 45. And the punt's going to be blocked. Now it's going to be picked up on that end. Courtney Mills will take it to the end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown, Courtney Mills.
Back for the final time this week on Inside the Nest, presented by Del Taco.
Brian Giffen, Nathan McCreary, as we sit here on what at the moment is a cloudy and kind of a low 70s day at Fifth Third Bank Stadium. Man, could fall actually be getting here. Football weather for a change, although we're recording this during the week prior to the big game coming up here on Saturday. The Owls in Samford. We will have coverage for you on radio with a pregame show at 5:30, kickoff between the Owls and Bulldogs at 6 o'clock. And, of course, as normal, you'll get that on AM 1230, FM 106.3 here in the Atlanta area, and online at wfom.radio.net. And, Nathan, we talked a lot about Samford, rightly, in the opening segment of this one. Devlin Hodges is a handful. We know that. Devlin Hodges is an All-American. He's right. A guy that high expectations, and he's lived up to him throughout his career. Extraordinarily tough to defend because you never know exactly what he's going to do, kind of a magician with the ball. But as we talked about, the Owls have had success against Samford, and I think were it not for that long delay, the Lightning will never know. But being on the road and being in a room with wet uniforms, there's not even a locker room where you have a place to sit down.
Right.
The Owls were dominating that game, as you well remember. They just failed in the red zone like they have done in openers in the past. And that, in the end, I think cost them. Then they came out flat in the third quarter, and that's one of those where Samford showed you if you let their wide receivers get behind your defense, you're going to have big problems.
There was a fourth down and one at the goal line against Samford in that second quarter just before the half that almost changed the tone of the game. Kennesaw State gave the ball up right there, and Samford was able to get out from in the shadow of the goalpost, and that kind of just changed the momentum of that game. And then you had that big long delay. So yeah, Kennesaw State was playing well. They were able to kind of pick themselves up there after the delay, but they just ran out of time. And Devlin Hodges is something special. There's no doubt about it. He is struggling this year. He's got 8 interceptions on the season. He really has struggled, although he is throwing it. I mean, he has 200 attempts.
Yeah.
You know, so.
He had 62 of them last week alone.
Yeah, he's really throwing the ball all over the field. And if you look at the receiving, I mean, they've got at least 12, 15 guys that have 3-4 catches on the season already. So. The weapons are there. The running backs are DeMarcus Ware and Roland Adams, both we know who are very, very talented. The pieces are there. Kennesaw State defense is very stingy, however. That's going to be it. I think it's going to be Sanford's offense against Kennesaw State's defense. That's really the matchup that we want to focus on.
And you can't forget about Ahmad Gooden and that Samford defense either, which, you know, again, the Owls had their successes and should have won that game but didn't, and Gooden was one of the guys who was a difference maker for Samford. You know, another one about that game when you look back at it that gets lost in translation because of the result and now, of course, the amount of time that's elapsed. Justin Sumter caught a ball in the end zone with a foot in that clearly was in when you go back and look at it, but the Owls didn't get that touchdown, ruled out of bounds, and the SoCon is one of those conferences where they don't use replay, or at least at the time didn't use replay. If that's a replay-type game, if that happens here, the Owls would have won that game anyway.
Yeah, and I had actually forgotten about that, and we had so many people hitting us up on social media and sending us pictures of his foot clearly in. But you know what? Good teams overcome those mistakes.
No doubt.
Always, and you've been around the game a long time, we've talked about this before. Good teams find ways to make opponents pay for their mistakes and overcome officials and conditions and penalties and things like that. And it's just something you got to overcome if you want to be a good program.
One final thought, Nathan, as we get ready to wrap up Inside the Nest for this week. You know, the coaches and Coach Bohannon told me this morning how much he feels like it's going to help football in general in terms of young players. This is the 4-game, the new redshirt rule. It'll be interesting because down the stretch here, starting with Samford, and then you get into conference play where, you know, everything is ratcheted up a great deal from what we've seen here in the early part of the year. It'll be interesting to see. For one, you're not expecting to see as many young players in games when it's Samford and or conference opponents anyway because you expect closer games. It'll be interesting, though, to see how judiciously they use that with certain players going forward, because here now we are 4 games in.
Right, and I think you're probably going to see some of these guys return, like a Rex Steiner, hopefully, and C.J. Collins.
We don't know,
you know, whether he's going to be that. We'll find that out between the time the podcast airs and the game. But, some of those pieces are going to be coming back, so you're not going to need them. But I think that Coach Bohannon has use that rule to his advantage this year early on, and I think we talked to him, and he said it was a true juggle of getting these guys playing time and using that red shirt. Yeah, it'll be definitely interesting to see.
It is going to be a war here. You get that feeling. And the Georgia State game was one you were awfully excited about because of the crosstown rivalry thing and all that, but this one is a rivalry game, a must-win for Samford, and I think the Owls would tell you that every game is a must-win, but certainly this one is, and it's been circled on the calendar for a while as these two have become rivals out in the field recruiting as well as on the field playing football. Well, Nathan, thanks as always for the time here on the Inside the Nest podcast. We love doing these. Also, thanks to Liam Klein, the Owls defensive line coach and recruiting coordinator, for joining us inside the nest. One more time, it's the Owls in Samford. Birds and Bulldogs coming your way from Fifth Third Bank Stadium at 6 o'clock on 1230 AM, 106.3 FM here in the Atlanta area and at WFOM.radio.net. 5:30 pregame for that one. Owls and Bulldogs kick it at 6 o'clock. One more time for all the aforementioned, I'm Brian Giffen. Thanks for joining us.
This is Inside the Nest, presented by Del Taco.
And you've been listening to Kennesaw State University Football.